This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, November 20th, 2009. I'm Caleb Brown. Escaping the inflation that likely awaits the United States money supply will be costly. It will mean public support, a Federal Reserve focused on the long term, and the willingness of politicians to accept inevitable political consequences sooner rather than later. Alan Meltzer, professor of political economy at Carnegie Mellon University, says history won't look kindly on the United States without significant changes to make the Federal Reserve and Congress credible once again. We spoke following his talk at Cato's 27th Annual Monetary Conference held yesterday. Is it possible for the Fed to rise above politics and do what you think needs to be done?
Well, Volcker was able to do it, but it requires public support. I mean, this is a democracy. Congress has a lot of influence on what the Fed does. I mean, the Fed is the agent of Congress. So it's not independent in the sense that the European Central Bank is independent. That is, there is no Congress that has direct control over the European Central Bank. There is a Congress, and they have the authority to coin money and regulate the value thereof under the Constitution. And the Fed is the delegated authority. So the Fed has to be concerned about what Congress does, and it is.
You talked about this changing definition of Fed independence. What do you think it ought to mean, and what does it mean?
What it ought to mean is that there's a rule for monetary policy, and the Fed has to stay within that rule. And if they don't stay within the rule, they have to offer their resignations or an explanation of why they've deviated from the rule. Many central banks do that. Basically, that's what the Bank of England now does. I recommended that early on to the New Zealand Reserve Bank, one of the first banks to adopt monetary targeting. They improved on what I recommended to them, but they then said, we negotiate with the Minister of Finance, we agree on an inflation target. If we don't hit the inflation target, we have to resign.
The stakes seem to be pretty high, and getting public support, I guess, would be akin in some sense to getting public support for any giant undertaking. For you write here, history does not record any examples of countries that faced high money growth, large and growing budget deficits, and a depreciating currency that escaped inflation. The only real example you cite is the United States in the early 80s.
Yes, there are other examples of countries which, as in the 1980s, changed the policy. And it took a few years to get people convinced that the policy had really changed, but then things got substantially better. There are other examples of countries that have revived. About the time that the United States abandoned its inflationary policy, many countries in the world abandoned their policies and avoided high inflation.
How applicable is the Taylor rule to the extraordinary circumstances that we've had recently? It seems like the Taylor rule is something that works pretty well when things are working pretty well.
Yes. I mean, when we're in, what we have to do now is obvious, and we don't need a rule to get back to stability. We need to cut the deficit, which means we have to cut spending a considerable amount. And that's hard to do. The last two administrations greatly increased the unfunded liability in Medicare. The Bush administration with its drug bill, the Obama administration with its health care bill, which is going to vastly increase the long-term deficit.
You said one would have to be a cockeyed optimist in order to believe that Congress will cut $500 billion out of Medicare. Why is it that we never see those realities in CBO projections?
CBO is not supposed to do that. CBO is supposed to say, this is what you say you're going to do, and we'll evaluate it. We won't tell you that you're not likely to do it. That's not our responsibility. And in fact, we're barred by law from telling the Congress what it should do. So CBO is an accounting agency, a good one, and it does its job faithfully and well, but it's not supposed to do things like say, you're not going to cut $500 billion, even though you say you are.
Do you think there's any will within the White House or within Congress to do what you say needs to be done with regard to cutting the deficit and getting us back to a reasonable supply of money?
Well, I've talked to the Chinese enough, and they've talked to me enough, so I know that President Obama got an earful about deficits when he was in China, and he may feel more encouraged to do something about that. But, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. The only thing that could possibly be done is to have a bipartisan commission that would come up with a proposal the way the Greenspan Commission did, the way the Base Closing Commission did, and the way we do trade rules, tariff cuts. Congress can vote it up or vote it down, but can't change the details. And then bipartisan, so that neither party can claim that they didn't agree or whatever. So depoliticize it. That's the only thing you can do. But most of the cuts are going to have to come in healthcare spending, and that's something we're doing the opposite right now.
Jerry O'Driscoll is a senior fellow here at the Cato
Institute.
He's
an old friend.
He said that basically from here on out, we've seen sort of a fusing of China and the United States in terms of our economic interdependence. And from here on out, he sees it very likely that the U.S. will have to coordinate its economic policies with Beijing.
I don't see that happening soon. It's certainly true that we depend upon the Chinese to finance the deficit, but that's a decision that's made in China, and we can't influence that.
Alan Meltzer is a professor of political economy at Carnegie Mellon University. He spoke at the Cato Institute's 27th Annual Monetary Conference. You can watch or listen to the conference archives at cato.org.